This week we're presenting a story strong in conflict. A conflict of ideas opposed to old methods and custom. Of youth against the old. As our star, we have a young man who scored a hit in his first film portrayal and whose stock in Hollywood is rising with every new performance. He is Cameron Mitchell. We want you to meet him in just a moment, but first... And here's our star, the young man who played the dying pilot, Lieutenant Joe Moore, in High Barbaree. Our star, Mr. Cameron Mitchell.
Well, as one Mitchell to another, Les, I'm very glad to be here.
We're very glad to have you, too, Cameron. We've been hearing great things about your work.
Thanks very much, Les. I'll try very hard to make this performance first class.
I know you will. And after the play, I'd like you to tell our audience just how you got your first break. It's a story I know they'll be interested in.
I'd be glad to, Les.
We'll hear more from Cameron Mitchell after the play. Now, places, everyone. Curtain going up. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
Good evening, Mr. Fry.
Evening, Jim. Come in and sit down for a minute. Marianne's never ready on time, but you ought to know that by now.
Well, I guess I'm a little early anyway.
Early? Well, maybe a little bit. Personally, I don't see how a man can take care of a farm the size of yours and get out in the evenings at all.
Well, I do have to hustle quite a bit to get away this early.
Don't question that. Don't question it at all. I just thought maybe you were slighting things a little to get some free time.
Me? Slighting things? After what they taught me at ag school? No, sirree. I know too much about the right way to farm. Why, that's what I went to school to learn.
If old Jim Trent had lived, there's a lot about farming he'd have taught you. Stuff they don't teach in any school.
Well, just the same, I'd have gone to ag school because there's too much about farming my father didn't know.
Well, now, I'd say he knew about as much as I do. Pretty good man, your father. He didn't need any schooling.
He did all right, but I think I can do better.
Well, if you do, it'll be hard work that does it, not schooling.
Well, I'd hate to think I wasted my time and hard work at school just...
Here, here. What's all the big discussion about?
Young Jim is just telling me you have to go to school to learn farming, that's all. Seems I'm old-fashioned.
I just said that...
You can tell me about it in the car. Bye-bye, Father. Behave yourself. Come on, Jim.
Well, don't stay out too late. Even an educated farmer has to get up early.
You know, it seems like I can't open my head around your father without getting into an argument about how to farm. He seems to think it's some kind of a sin to go to college. And it isn't just your father, Marianne. I get the same kind of treatment from most of the men around here. Only the rest of them aren't so blunt about it. You'd think I was trying
to... Jim, let's sit down for a minute. Over here under the tree. Let's just talk a while. You're all upset. I don't care about the other farmers around here, but I want you and my father to like each other.
Okay. All right, Marianne. Now I'm ready to take my scolding like a good boy.
Jim, please. I'm not going to scold. It's just that you should know how important it is to me that you and Father should be friends.
I know it, honey. And I try hard, but I just can't keep my big mouth shut.
He thinks... Well, he says you want everybody else to do things your way.
But, darling, it isn't my way. I didn't think it up. It's the scientific way. And when I tell anybody about something I learned at ag school, it's only because I want to help them.
But they don't look at it that way, Jim.
That isn't my fault, is it?
They'd like you better if you didn't try to tell them anything. At least not until you've proved your ideas on your own farm.
But, Marianne, darling, I tell you, they aren't my own ideas. And I don't have to prove them because they've already been proven by better men than I am.
Well, I meant until you had proved your ideas to the people around here, that's all. By making your place pay off, I mean.
Well, I'll do that all right. But meanwhile, Marianne, your father's not going to enjoy seeing me, so we might just as well continue to keep quiet about our plans.
And you don't think we should...
When I have a good-sized bank account, your father will be more friendly toward my kind of farming. And until then, I'll just have to arrange things so I don't run into him too often and see to it that there's no time for talk when I do.
All right. But I'd be a lot happier if you could get along with him.
You'd be a lot happier, darling, if you just didn't worry about it at all. Now, come on. Let's go to the show like we planned.
Mr. Sloan! Hey, Mr. Sloan! here, Jim. Something you want me to get for you while I'm in town?
Well, thanks for the offer, but I stopped you so I could do a favor for you.
Oh?
I was up by your North 40 this morning. You know, the pasture where you've got the two heifers and one old cow?
Yeah, put the old cow in there last week. But I believe we'll take her out again. That rocky ground's making her lame.
I don't think that's it, Mr. Sloan. That's what I wanted to talk to you about. She isn't only lame, she's slobbering a lot, too. I'm pretty sure she's got hoof and mouth disease.
Well, I got my own ideas about what's wrong with that cow, but just suppose you tell me what that farming school of yours says ought to be done for her.
Yeah, it's very simple. She ought to be killed and buried immediately. And that goes for the two heifers as well, because they've been exposed, too.
Just what I thought. Oh, craziest thing I ever heard of. Tell me my cattle's sick, then tell me I ought to kill them off and bury them when they ask you what to do.
Now, wait a minute. Hoof and mouth disease is dangerous. That's the only way to keep it from spreading. Read the bulletins from the United States Department of Agriculture.
Listen here, young Trent. Your father was a fine man, but you don't take after him. All them newfangled ideas you brought back from agricultural college is bad enough. But now you're trying to stir up trouble.
No, I'm not trying to stir up trouble. I know what I'm talking about.
I ain't telling you nothing. You ain't telling me. I don't want to hear any more about it. Now, thank you to stay off my land from now on, or I figure I'll have the law on you. Get up there. Warn.
Not exactly for me, Mr. Edwards. It's about your cattle. Don't you have a pasture right next to Pete Sloan's North 40?
Oh, I have 4 or 5 head there. It's poor pasture land. I graze most of my stock down at the other end of my land. Why, what's on your mind?
Well, I think Pete Sloan has a cow with hoof and mouth disease in that pasture next to yours. And your cattle have been exposed and should be separated.
Yeah, what's the sign of this here hoof and mouth disease? Reckon I could tell if mine had it?
Oh, sure. It's easy to recognize. It's soreness around the mouth and feet of the animal. Makes them act lame and froth or slobber at the mouth. It gets worse very fast.
Oh, when my cattle froth at the mouth, I figure they've been eating too much white clover or maybe foxtail grass.
Yes, I know. That's what Mr. Sloan said, too. But there's a difference between that and what I'm talking about for anybody who really knows something about the disease.
And you figure that me and Pete Sloan don't know nothing about it. Is that right?
Oh, no, no. I didn't mean that. But you haven't studied the disease like I did.
Nope. Guess we learned our farming. We didn't learn in school, sonny. But I figure we know what we're doing without any school kid coming around to tell us.
But listen, Mr. Edwards, if your cattle start getting sick...
Yeah? Just supposing they do. What's your idea of what I ought to do then, huh?
An animal that shows signs of hoof and mouth should be shot and buried immediately before it can communicate the disease to other cattle.
That's sure a mighty fine way of curing a sick cow, son. And I bet you paid a lot of money to learn things like that. Now you listen to me. I've heard enough of your smart alecky talk. Now you go on down the road and tend to your own cattle. And don't come around here anymore trying to tell me how to tend to mine.
So that's what happened. I did order him off my place. Guess I might as well tell you about it. Figured I might bring it up a township meeting Friday night. Me and Sam Edwards, that is.
Sam Edwards? He in on this, too?
Yeah, seems like young Trent dropped in on him and tried to tell him how to run his farm like he did me. And Sam gave him the same kind of treatment I did.
What's all this about Jim?
Oh, he says one of my cows has got that foot and mouth disease. He's snooping around my North 40 the other day and had to know to come tell me about it.
Well, now, Pete, I don't think that hurts you any. No call to get mad at a man for that.
It wasn't that that made me mad, neither. But the blame fool tried to tell me how to shoot that cow and the two heifers that was in the pasture with her and bury him. I ain't shooting any cattle right now, and if I was, I'd sure sell them for beef.
Well, now, that is kind of strong.
So then he went over and told Sam Edwards a big story about maybe he'd have to do the same thing with some of his stock that's in the pasture next to mine. Gave Sam a big story about he was sure my cattle had his disease and how Sam's might get it, too.
Mr. Sloan, I'm sure that Jim didn't mean any harm. He was only trying to help
me. Marianne, you best stay out of this. If Jim is making trouble, he'll have to take care of it himself.
But I know that Jim isn't trying to stir up any trouble. It's just... Well, it's the way he says things.
I just assume he didn't say any more of them to me. Especially no more of this here wild talk about foot and mouth disease.
And of course, Pete, that is a pretty serious thing. But I don't see how your cattle could ever get it.
Well, I don't either. And if they did, shooting them don't sound like a very good way of curing the disease.
Well, that's just a way of stopping it from spreading, Pete. But it sounds an awful lot like a lazy man's way to me. Treat it, get the cattle over it, ought to be a better way.
Yeah, that makes a little sense.
I've heard of it before, but only in countries like Mexico and South America. I don't know as I've heard of it in this country.
Oh, just some of young Trent's book learning getting the best of them, that's all.
Well, if it's going to make trouble, it'll have to stop.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, good evening, Jim.
Hello, Mary Ann. Those books you... Oh, good evening, Mr. Fry.
Evening, Jim.
How are you, Mr. Sloan? Oh, by the way...
Yes, I'll be going now. See you at township meeting, Arnold. Evening, Mary Ann.
Well, gosh, I didn't think he was that mad at me.
I don't think he had any call to be nasty like that. But just the same, he's got a right to be mad at you, Jim.
Why? Because I told him one of his cows had hoof and mouth disease? Well, he ought to be thankful I could recognize it. So should all the other cattle farmers around here, for that matter. Why, the United States Department of Agriculture...
Now, don't get mad, son. Pete Sloan and Sam Edwards are both pretty worked up over what you did. And Pete says he'll likely bring it up at township meeting Friday night. And you'd better not make things worse by bringing in the agricultural department.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Fry. I'll fight my own battles. I just thought maybe you people would listen to a man like that, even if you won't listen to me.
And another thing, son. Next time you want us folks to listen to you, suppose you say your piece at township meeting, where everybody will have a chance to hear it at the same time, instead of gossiping around from one man to another like you've been doing.
All right. All right, that's just what I'll do. I'll be at the meeting Friday night, and I'll tell everybody about the seriousness of this thing. Maybe there'll be somebody there with sense enough to listen.
You'll get your chance, but be mighty sure you don't just stir up more trouble with your talk about killing off cattle. These folks won't take to that.
Well, if they don't, they'll lose even more cattle because... Well, never mind. I'll say it at township meeting. I'm too sore to talk now. Good night, Mary Ann. Good night, sir. Mr. Chairman, I came here tonight to tell everyone the same thing that I told Mr. Sloan and Mr. Edwards. I am certain that hoof and mouth disease has come to this neighborhood, and I just want to try to help everyone to know what should be done to control the spread of it. If any of your cattle show the symptoms, it is vitally important that not only the animal with the disease, but also all other animals exposed be killed and buried immediately. Now, that may sound drastic. All right, if you want all your cattle to die off instead of just a few...
Hey, sit down, college boy.
All right, if that's the way you want it.
Jim, wait a minute. Jim, please. Jim, I want to talk to you.
All right, but you're foolish to be seen talking to me in front of these people. They'll just clash you with me.
Jim, please don't be like that.
How else do you expect me to be? They're so eager to make fun of my education that they won't pay any attention to what I say. I was just trying to help some of the rest of these stubborn mules to see what they're heading into.
Jim, please be quiet. We'll turn everyone against you.
Including you, I suppose.
Oh, no, Jim. But I do wish...
You do wish I'd shut up, don't you?
Jim, you know how I feel. If I could only get you to see that you're making people hate you.
So you'll stick by me if I'll be a good boy and keep my mouth shut.
You know better than that, Jim Trent. You know I'll stick whether you keep your mouth shut or not.
Yes, Mary Ann, you'd stick all right. I'm sorry I said that. But you'd stick because of your personal feelings and not because you believe that I'm right about the seriousness of this.
Oh, Jim, I wish you'd understand.
Darling, I do understand. I'm not mad at you. But we'd better skip this for a while. So good night. I'll call you in a few days.
Jim. Jim, please.
Hello, Jim Trent speaking.
Jim, it's been 3 days since the meeting. I just had to talk to you. You never stayed mad like this before.
I'm not mad, Mary Ann. I just thought it would be better for you, easier for you to get along with your father, I mean, if you just forgot about me for a while.
But I want to help you, if there's any way I can.
Darling, I'd like to hear you say that. But you see, I started this battle alone, and That's the way I'd better finish it. It's going to cost both of us plenty anyway without me dragging you into it.
What do you mean it's going to cost both of us?
Well, it'll probably postpone our plans. Let's not talk about it now. This is a party line, you know. I'll tell you all about it later.
Please, Jim, what's happened?
It's nothing serious, Mary Ann. Don't worry about it. Just forget I said it until I see you again.
Hello?
Hello, Mary Ann. Is your father there?
Oh, he's down at the cattle barn right now, but I can go get him if it's important.
Oh, it ain't that important. I went by Jim Trent's place just a little bit ago, and I saw something so funny, I just had to call your father and tell him about it as soon as I got to a phone here in town.
Something funny?
Oh, it wasn't only funny. It was crazy, too. I'd say a man was plumb crazy to shoot six-headed cattle and not even skin them, just dig holes and bury them. Of course, that's what young Trent was telling the rest of us to do.
He was shooting his cattle? All of them?
Well, I don't know as he'll shoot all of them, but he had six head in the pasture next to the road, all good milk cows, and he's already shot every one of them and got a fellow there to help him bury him. Just thought I'd tell your father.
Yes. Yes, I'll tell him you called. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Milk cows. He'll have to go in debt to replace them. Oh, no wonder he said postpone our plans. Father! Father! You know what's happened? Jim's cattle have caught that hoof and mouth disease, and he's shooting them. Pete Sloan called in from town. He went by Jim's place, and he said he saw Jim burying six of his best milk cows. And Sloan said he's burying them without even bothering to skin them.
Yes, that way, sure, he won't be guilty of spreading foot and mouth disease.
And you believe he was right in the first place?
I thought he was just trying to show off his college education. But when a man shoots his own cattle, I don't guess he's showing off. That's a pretty serious thing.
I should say it is. Don't you see that it won't do any good for him to destroy his cattle if no one else around here will do anything to stop the spread of the disease?
Yeah, that's right. Providing it is foot and mouth disease, of course.
You don't think he'd throw himself into debt if it wasn't, do you?
I guess not. At any rate, I figure maybe we ought to talk with him a little bit, give him a chance to prove whether that's what it is or not.
Then you'll go and talk to him?
I figure I might get a few of the neighbors together and go over there. Might be able to help him out with the digging job, if nothing else.
You've certainly changed your mind since the night of the township meeting.
I haven't changed my mind exactly. It's just that talk's mighty cheap. It's easy to say you want to help folks without particularly meaning it. But when a man does something to help folks at his own cost, that's different.
I tried to tell you that. I tried to tell Jim that I knew he was right, but...
Well, you come along with me, Mary Ann. Maybe you'll get a chance to tell him that today. And maybe a few more things, too.
Hello, Mr. Fry. Anything I... Wait a minute. What's Sloan and Edwards doing here? A man surely got a right to shoot his own cattle.
It's all right, Jim. It's all right.
Yep, like Mary Ann says, it's all right. And I guess a man has a right to shoot his own cattle, all right.
Because it was necessary. I swear it was.
Yeah, we figure we know why you did it, Jim. We just thought maybe we'd kind of be of some help to you. And, well, we figured... we got kind of worried about this disease ourselves. And maybe somebody that knows about it ought to check over our herds for us. You right, man?
Oh, I'd be glad to. But I can teach all of you how to do it yourselves. Mary Ann, are you responsible for this?
You might say she started it. Kept telling me she knew that you were right. But the rest of us got moving on our own, and once we got started in the right direction...
Uh-huh. It's amazing.
I guess maybe we were kind of like the stubborn mules you called us. Mighty hard to start us moving. But we can sure pull together once we get going.
Yeah, sure. Well, maybe it'd be a good idea if I'd show you what to look for. There's one of my cows in the corner of the barn lot. I'll take you around there and show...
Let them go, Jim. You stay here.
Let's go down there and see what Jim's talking about.
Jim, I had to talk to you alone. I just had to.
Mary Ann, I wanted to talk to you, too, and I better say my piece first, because after you hear it, you might not want to say anything.
I know, Jim. You want to tell me that this is going to set you back quite a bit. and that we'll have to postpone all of our plans.
Yeah, that's right. Well, how'd you know I was going to say all that?
Because that's just the way you'd think. You'd just take it for granted that everything would have to wait until you had a big cash balance. Well, it doesn't have to, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, but Marianne, I'll be way in debt and no chance to get anything ahead for months yet. I won't have any income at all for quite a while. I might even lose this farm.
Jim, these men around here aren't going to stand by and see you go broke. Why, they'd figure they weren't being neighborly.
I certainly don't want any charity.
Don't worry, it won't be charity. But they'll manage to help you out some way. And I want you to promise that you won't refuse.
Why should I take help when I'm not asking for any?
Look, Jim, they humbled their pride enough to come over here and do something that was just the same as apologizing. So you can humble your pride a little and accept their help.
Jim, we've been talking things over a little while we was down to your barn lot. We kind of decided that just telling us about foot and mouth disease won't be enough. We figured maybe you'd be good enough to teach us some other things, too. Some of that stuff you learned at agricultural college.
Yeah,
of course. Anything I can do to help, I'll be glad to. Things like, well, like scientific feeding, nutrition analysis, things like that.
We thought we'd leave that up to you. But we're going to get to schoolhouse every Monday night, and, we'll be there to listen if you'll be there to talk.
Oh, I'll certainly do it. Oh, well, this is wonderful. Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send to the college for some special charts and things.
Of course, we couldn't ask you to do a thing like that for nothing, so we're going to pay you. I don't know how much yet, but enough to make it worthwhile. Is that all right with you?
Yeah. It's all right with me.
Now here's our director, Les Mitchell. And here's our star, Cameron Mitchell. I'd say that your performance certainly lived up to all advance notices, Cameron.
Thanks very much, Les.
You know, just as a point of interest, my stepfather's last name was Cameron.
Well, even so, I don't think we can dig up a relationship much as I'd like to.
Well, I'd be the first one to claim it, believe me. But now, how about telling us about your first real break?
Well, Les, when I was a young actor and not getting anywhere, I used to write letters to stars and critics and producers trying to get a break. I guess I must have written 100 with no answer to any of them.
Nothing for your efforts but a case of writer's cramp, huh?
And a case of the dumps. I was getting pretty discouraged. The closest I got to acting was a job as usher in a 42nd Street movie theater for $8.90 a week. Mm-hmm. My day off, I'd take a busman's holiday and go to the theater. One day, I saw The Guardsman with Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontana. I must have been in a pretty crazy mood because I wrote another letter. This was a cocky letter. Pretty dreadful thing. Saying that I was good, but I'd never had a break and so forth. And I sent it to Alfred Lunt.
And this time you got an answer?
Yep, I got an answer from Lynn Fontaine's secretary, who told me to come backstage and read a scene from a play. I had stage fright, but plenty. I considered getting sick and not showing up.
But you did.
Yes, I showed up. The secretary gave me a lecture about the letter. She told me never, never to write that kind of letter again, that if Mr. Lunt had received it, he would have thrown it away. Well, anyway, make a long story short, I read for her and for Miss Fontaine.
And just for the record, I'd like to quote Miss Fontaine, Cameron. I know that you'd skip that part of the story. She said that you would not only become a good actor, but a great actor.
I hope so, Les. I'd like to fulfill the prediction of such a great lady. I got my break with the theater guild.
And then came a stretch with the Lunt's personal company and finally Hollywood.
I guess it's a story, Les, that ought to give hope to a lot of struggling young actors because it proves that these things do happen.
Thank you for being with us, Cameron Mitchell. Do come back for a repeat performance sometime soon.
I'd like to, Les, and thank you very much. And before I go, I'd like to thank Lorette Philbrandt and the rest of the cast for their fine performances. Goodbye.
Goodbye and good luck, Cameron Mitchell.
In the cast, you heard Mr. Cameron Mitchell as Jim, Lorette Philbrandt as Mary Ann, Fred Howard as Fry, Earl Lee as Sloan, and John Frank as Edwards. The Old and the New was written by Ray E. Sollers, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
It's been a pleasure bringing you our story, The Old and the New, and we hope you'll be with us next week.
Musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Be sure to listen each and every week and hear such stars as Patricia Morrison, Gene Raymond, Lynn Berry, and many other great actors and great stories selected especially for them. Cameron Mitchell can be seen in the MGM production of Cast Timberline. Dan Dessertel speaking.